Welcome back to another exciting edition of the Pointless Exercise Podcast. Time for the Bears Podcast with actor-comedian Mike Pusateri. And how do you want to be described, Prez? Are you bon vivant, Mike Presnowski?
Trying to mime through all of this, yeah.
That's good.
Do some interpretive dances to describe how I feel about yesterday's Bear, or Saturday, Sunday's Bear game.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so it's good to have the mics here to talk about the first 57 minutes of the Bears and Lions. It's pretty good.
Oh, we don't. It was actually the first 57 minutes because of how bad Fox's clock was.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. I think it was Lions shenanigans. I think the game was over. I think they just kept. Oh no, the clock. Oh whoops. And they were just going to keep doing that. It was basically like the 1972 men's Olympic basketball game. Just going to keep putting time on the clock until the Lions won, just like the Russians.
All right.
Like, oh no, there's 3 minutes left. What? Yes, that was very annoying. It would, and then did you notice that we would see the countdown for the timeouts? Like the clock would change to a minute, and then we'd watch it go down.
Yeah, it was bizarre.
Why don't they just do this? Like in the good old days, can't they just take a camera and you just shoot it at the scoreboard and then you just show that?
Right.
I mean, come on.
Then there's no discrepancy. Then you know what you're looking at.
Or have Adam Amin just count down the clock the whole time. That wouldn't be annoying at all, would it? 38 seconds, 37 seconds, 36 seconds, 35 seconds. Yeah, there was clearly some shenanigans. I have filed an appeal with the NFL.
Okay, good.
I filed the paperwork this morning. Expect to hear back. They told me 8 to 12 months. They might have a hearing. So I'm very excited to get this overturned, and the Bears will win.
Your Freedom of Information Act with all the relevant parties.
I did. It'll be great. I asked. I want the text messages from George McCaskey's cricket jitterbug. I always call it a cricket jitterbug. Man, that must have been one rough ride in the Camry, the way back from Detroit.
Yeah.
Oh, imagine that. A lot of steering wheel punching going on there, George.
Mm-hmm. Vag probably wanted to take Route 20 all the way back for the scenic route instead of taking I-94.
Is there a big boy on the way, George?
Let's get some buttermilk.
I can tell you, on the way from Chicago to Traverse City, there is a Bob's Big Boy. I don't remember where it is exactly.
I think I know where it's at, actually. Right? It's near, isn't it like right over from Indiana into Michigan?
Well,
like right near New Buffalo area?
Yeah, probably. There was a place in New Buffalo. It was called the Stray Dog. We used to stop there, and then we stopped one time, and it had burned down. Apparently, it's back. But don't think we were gonna. Well, nope. can't eat there. It burned down.
Did you know the original Bob's Big Boy was began in Glendale, California?
Did it?
Yes. There's a what they call the original Bob's Big Boy in Burbank right now. We're going off on another tangent like last week. We talked nothing about everything but the Bears game.
I got news for you. The people at home are like, keep it up. That's fine. If you get to the Bears, whatever.
Yeah.
Bob's a big boy, kind of a J.B. Pritzker statue.
Kind of. A little bit.
Could be.
That was called him Governor Big Boy.
I could see that.
Do you think that the George and Vag drive to Detroit?
I don't think so. I don't think.
Of course, Vag. She should be making the trip, should she?
Yeah, I would. I wouldn't think so.
The 1,000-year-old Ford widow is no longer with us, right? So she's got nobody to play canasta with.
Oh, really?
So I don't think so. That could be wrong.
See, Martha Clay Ford still with us?
I think she's dead. Area of the most exciting game show, Prez Googles.
Well, do you think the team like just took the Greyhound? They chartered a Greyhound bus, or do you think they flew?
They carpool, probably.
Probably carpool. Remember, yeah.
She is still with us.
Oh, well, see, there's no reason for
98 that. 98 years young.
Yeah, Vaj needs to be going then. So those two can hang out. Hitting the town. Yeah. Ripping it up at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on a Saturday. Woo! But yeah, that's... I get confused 2 or 3 times a game. It doesn't take much. I will forget. Actually, no, I wonder this. If you're Jim Morrissey and you're watching the games at home, do you watch, when they show the Bears, do you think, am I dead? Oh, no, that's for Butkus. Sees the Padgies, pinches himself. He asks, am I still with us? Yes, that's for right. The other. That's for the other guy who wore 51, not you. Oh, okay. Yeah. Good. Phew. Awful. All right, so at what point did you know they were going to lose?
I felt when they went for the field goal.
No, I didn't feel that. Like I was with the flus there.
You were. I read the piece.
They made, yep. You if you go for it, and you don't make it, and now all they need to do is score, score a touchdown and kick a field goal. Bad.
Go ahead. Can I give you an answer that maybe might be a little bit earlier than expected? Okay. I think so.
Saturday,
yeah. This happened twice in this game in which Jalen Johnson dropped two passes that very easily could have been pick sixes. On that second one, I thought, okay, if we're going to blow two of these opportunities, we're playing with fire here.
Well, and the second one, he didn't even need to score. Just if the Bears got the ball back there, they probably win.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first one, that was a 98-yarder if he catches that ball.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody that
can. Gone. That's why he plays defense, right? Yeah.
So you're saying it was when they settled for the field goal. Now, they got really hosed on the spot on third and one.
Oh, I agree.
Like,
yes.
That should have been like fourth and an inch. Instead, it was fourth and more than a yard. It's like, who was spotting this?
I don't know.
Yeah, clearly the refs are out to get, not even the Bears, out to get us. They're going after the fans.
That's what they're targeting.
They don't want us to be happy. I mean, how many times did Justin Fields slide and still get hit?
Always.
It happens like 10 times a game.
Yeah. Happened, I think, 3 or 4 times. Happened on the first drive of the game.
Yeah. It even happened to somebody else. I don't remember. I lost track. Another Bear got hit late, and they didn't bother to call it. How about, now, I mean, the cheap shot on Lucas Patrick, that's a 15-yard penalty, right? That play by then had been blown dead, and the Lion is just blocking. That's one where the refs couldn't decide. They were going to let it go because maybe Cole fumbled, and then they decide halfway through the play that it's not, and they blow the whistle, and everybody's running.
Yeah. They took a shot, that's for sure.
Yeah. Which immediately upgraded the center play for the Bears.
Even if they didn't play, even if they went with 10 guys.
I mean, this
is a four-man line.
This is how sad that position is. That they get down to the third string center, Dan Feeney, who after he got done getting yelled at by Justin for not snapping the ball, you just like forgot he was. It was just he didn't worry about Dan Feeney. He's no good. But that's how much. That's how bad Lucas Patrick is. Am I the only one? Maybe I imagine this. Am I the only one who sees the slow motion snaps? Like, just all of a sudden, he'll snap a shotgun snap. The ball just, like, hangs in the air. He did it with Bajent, and he does it with Fields. And they're, like, trying to back up, but they can't because the ball hasn't gotten to them yet.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Jesus. What really is irritating is watch a game like last night where it was all Kelce all the time, but it was very instructive. They showed a lot of Jason Kelce. You don't see a lot of, like, ISOs on the center.
No, right.
But the way he was literally, there was one play where Jalen Hurts changed something in the play. And Kelce, while still holding the ball, looks over his shoulder and goes, no. And points, like literally points to the left side. He's like, no. And he goes like that. And so Jalen yells something else. And they ran like a fake handoff. And then Hurts just followed Kelce through the hole. And Kelce just annihilated the guy he was pointing at. clearly, I think Hurts had literally changed the side. Like, he saw that guy and was like, okay, we're going to go away from him. And Kelsey's like, uh-uh, I got him. We're going this way. And then he did.
Yeah, Bears don't have that.
It's like, that's what it's supposed to look like.
Bears don't have that.
Not the guy with the great gazoo helmet who snaps the ball straight up in the air a third of the time. It's like, Jesus Christ. Okay, so for you it was the field goal. Praz, it was the dropped interceptions. I was more optimistic. For me, it was on a play where Sam Laporta caught a ball over the middle of the field, and Tremaine Edmonds was there to tackle him. It didn't tackle him, and Laporta ran 20 yards sideways, didn't gain any more yards, out of bounds. Saved 35 seconds in a game that they lost with 23 seconds to go. Mm-hmm. It's just their fucking tackling. It's like, come on.
Yeah.
It drives me nuts every week.
Yeah.
Yep.
I will admit I was tempted, and I should have. When they kicked the field goal, I was thinking, yeah, the Bears is still within the Bears' wheelhouse. Should have gone to DraftKings and thrown a few bucks on the Lions.
Yeah.
And I didn't do it. By the time the Lions scored the touchdown in, what was it, like 67 seconds?
Something like that.
It's too late to bet then. The line has corrected itself. You're not making any money. Yeah. Hey, you might have made money betting on the Bears to not blow it at that point.
Yeah.
There was a bet that I actually had. I bet on the over on Fields pass attempts, and it looked like it was going to be officially dead after the Bears were up, you know, 12 points going into the last couple minutes there, and then they blow the lead, and I'm thinking, oh, this is great. Fields is actually going to have to throw on the last drive. Whoops, wasn't the case. First play.
Yeah.
How many attempts did you – do you know how many attempts you needed out of the last one?
26 and a half, so I needed, I think, four more.
Yeah, you had to be feeling good about that.
I did.
Yeah.
Until I saw the ball rolling backwards and then Bears offensive lineman kicking it.
Goal! Oh, Darnell, that doesn't – we got one back. No, that's not how that works. He actually gave them two more, but it doesn't matter at this point. Yeah.
That did say plus eight for the Bears, for those who bet that, though. Because if the Lions
that line had really plummeted. It was down to, I saw 7.5 at one place on Sunday morning. Yeah, clearly, somebody in Vegas got a hold of the game plan. And they were like, ooh, this is going to work. It did for 57 of the 60 minutes. And then not so much.
Right.
At that point. So I didn't – I almost hesitate. I hope one of you saw it. Brett, Pratt, you probably watched this. There was that clip going around where Spiegel and Parkins were talking about the Bears sabotaging Fields.
Yes.
And I just didn't want to watch it because it's like, okay, I can – how do you say that after this game? Like, that was like the first time I felt like they actually had a handle on, like, how to use him. Like, they – you know, they spent a lot of time with the option runs where he can give it to the halfback or keep it. And early in the game, they were playing the halfback. So he got some nice big chunks. Later in the game, Khalil got a few nice carries out of that. They got rid of almost all the stupid wide receiver screens. I think they threw one. They moved the pocket. The guys actually can block now, so twice he got to climb the pocket and make nice throws to DJ Moore. So it's like, was that just a sticky note from a month ago that Spiegel decided he wanted to, like, lead again? It's like, if you want to make that point, you could probably just wait a week, and you could probably make it. But I didn't understand it based on,
what
like,
was
for
the point
first
that,
time, you felt like, this is how you win with this guy. And they had I hate to say it, but they had one of the best teams in the NFC on the ropes with 3 minutes to go.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You saw it on the touchdown he had to DJ Moore. He, you know, had a clean pocket, was able to climb up in it. That didn't feel like any sort of, you know, the Bears throwing their hands up and saying they're done with Fields. Like, they had a good game plan for him. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't on that the Lions were able to stuff Khalil Herbert on three rushing attempts on that final drive.
So. Well, just two. Then they went.
Right, the one deep path to Scott. Yep.
And I, at first, I, the old wide receiver in me screamed at Scott from home because when you watched it live, you saw him like speed up at the end and barely miss the ball. And this is from a guy who his whole football career got yelled at for not. I had coaches who, if they saw you speed up at the end, were super pissed because it meant you weren't going full speed the whole time, which makes it really hard for the quarterback to figure out where he's supposed to be. But when you watch the replay, he didn't slow until he was trying to like figure out where the ball was. You know, so it's not, sometimes a guy's like running 80% and then all of a sudden they take off.
Right.
Yeah, my only problem, I wrote about this with the two run plays, because you want the Lions to use their timeouts, is, and the Bears aren't the only team that does it, but they do it all the time. Lining everybody up right within 4 or 5 yards of the ball, how does that make any fucking sense?
Yeah.
Everybody's there to make a tackle. Everybody's there to blow up a block. Play it like a normal play. Get your wide receivers out towards the sidelines. Split a flanker out. Make the Lions have to defend the entire, even if they're 90% sure that you're going to run, they're not 100% sure you're going to run.
Right.
When you line up in a fucking rugby scrum, it's pretty obvious what you're going to do. And you're not going to gain any yards.
Well, I didn't hear this clip. Was that an example of the Bears sabotaging him? Or I saw something that wasn't about them sabotaging him, but it was that they didn't believe in him. Is it two different things we're talking about?
I didn't watch the clip because I knew so that's why we need Praz to interpret.
I was only made aware of it. I didn't actually watch it. So.
Glad I probably should not have just brought that up blindly. But
you're good.
I can't see how you can say that after that game. I mean, that was a game they like put. That whole game plan was around him, and he played really well.
Well,
they should have beaten the Lions. So the whole thing is, I don't get it.
Well, this coaching staff can't afford to sabotage Fields or anybody. They have almost no chance of coming back. But they got to win everything to give themselves some chance. Yep. So that wouldn't make any sense just from a self-preservation standpoint.
I would have put Nathan Peterman in to throw the bomb at the end, though.
Yeah. he's got a much better arm. You know, by the way, on that overthrow to DJ in the first quarter, Fields threw that from the 50.
Yeah.
And it landed at the back of the end zone. Yeah. I mean, it was 60 yards, and it was effortless. I mean, it was just boom. And it was pretty much on a line. It took no effort for it to get down there. I mean, that man has got an arm.
Yeah, and it was nice to see them. They went. They took 4 deep shots in the game. Although one was on 3rd and 12 when they needed a first down to save the game. But that had been a thing they had. And part of that, I'm sure, was the way the line played all last year and the beginning of this year was, can we buy enough time to actually go deep? But that's such a huge part of what he can do, and it changes everything. So when you do it, and when you threaten to do it multiple times like they did Sunday, it opens a lot of stuff up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was – I mean, maybe the – I mean, I'm sure part of the defense, you know, the idea that they played as well as they did until the last 3 minutes was Jared Goff, at least 2 of those 3 times, just throwing the ball right to a Bear, killing their own drives.
Yeah,
the third pick though was a really nice play by Jervon Dexter, where he was being held and managed to reach over with the off arm and still knock the ball in the air. That was pretty nice.
That's good.
Jack Sanborn has sack.
Oh man, the Jack Sanborn fan club is going crazy.
Yep.
Montez had a sack.
Yep.
That was a real nice one.
I'm always happy to see Cairo kick whenever. So,
yeah.
I mean, I'd kick field goals on first and goal just because, hey, send out. It's so aesthetically pleasing. Or the little guy kick one.
Yeah.
So I tried to make the case for. I think I was very irritated at the end of the game more so than I normally. It was irritating just to watch them blow that the way they did, but it's because it's the Lions and their fans were so happy. And so just, yeah. I think that was a big part of the initial reaction from the fan base afterwards was watching Lions fans have something to be happy about.
Happy about, really, right? Like, yeah,
that. Yeah,
yeah.
But I mean, you can make the case, and I did, that the Bears, all in all, for their long term, had a productive Sunday, right? Justin Fields played well. You need that.
Right. Yep.
The Giants somehow won. I mean, that was my big fear, was that the Giants with Tommy DeVito had no chance to win another game, and they were going to go 2-15. And then if the Panthers get lucky in another game, although, as I told Mike, I found out that because the South is so bad already, and the Panthers are playing the Giants are playing like a second place schedule. There's no way the Panther strength of schedule can be better than the Giants. So if they tie, Panthers pick us above, so the Bears get that.
Yeah.
But that was good. Even the Rams, who are threatening to lose a lot of games, they won. So all that went well. If most people want this coaching staff to go away, well, this didn't help make the case to stay. And a win would have. I mean, the win is the, kind of the first brick.
Oh,
in
yeah.
The, hey, look, we really are turning things around. Look at this.
Absolutely. Yep.
So,
without a doubt.
But
I mean, yeah, so it lined up on all three. Fields look good, like as you wrote. The coaching staff looks like they're still going to get fired, and the draft turned out.
Everything's coming up Bears. I tried to cheer myself up by saying, "All right, if you're an obnoxious Lions fan, there's only like I lived in Michigan for 3 years. I can tell you, there's like 4 Lions fans. There are many.
Well, you lived in the UP though, right?
Well, I lived in Traverse City, which is close to the UP, but not quite in the UP. A lot of Bears probably and
more,
a lot of Packer fans up there.
I was going to say, probably a lot
but
more
there
Packers
are a lot of
fans
Bears
there.
Fans. I was finally in. You couldn't shake a stick and not hit a Cub fan.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, the
Western.
And the Tigers have been pretty good when I was up there, but.
Yeah.
Well, the Western half of Michigan, that's mostly still Chicago and a little bit of Wisconsin sports fans.
Yeah. And they're. And they can make fun of the Wisconsin people because the west coast of Michigan has beautiful beaches. Just great. And the east coast of Wisconsin has rocky bullshit. Because it actually, over the centuries, all of it has gone, it all goes east to west. And so, like, it builds nice beaches in Michigan and it strips them in Wisconsin. So,
right.
So, thank you, lake effect snow.
Eat shit. No, I comforted myself by saying, all right, thank you. You've just put us one step closer to you having to cover Marvin Harrison Jr. for the next decade.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good point.
Until they draft, until they trade a draft pick to get Jim Harbaugh. I don't know if you trade a draft pick to Michigan. You trade it to Michigan to get Jim Harbaugh? I don't know how that would work. But there's still a chance of that.
Make a donation to the university. That's how it'll work.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was. I allowed myself to get optimistic about halfway through. Actually, the long drive in the fourth quarter, the 8-minute drive.
Great.
It's like, all right, this is super impressive. This is every time we need a play, we're making a play. Look at this. This is like a real thing. And then, Jesus Christ. I mean, at some point, you know, just we got to win at something.
Yeah, I mean, we had the deer in the flu lights again, so.
Yeah, and sadly, doesn't look like that's coming this Monday night since the Vikings simply cannot lose with Josh Dobbs quarterback.
Well, they lost the Broncos.
Lost to the Broncos, yeah, but they're not going to lose in the same fashion that they would if Kirk was quarterback.
That's right. Especially, Monday Night Kirk. That was the Bears win. Kirk,
yeah.
I had that one. That was chalked up. That was on the board.
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe he'll make a miraculous comeback. Did he get the the special surgery that Aaron got?
He and Aaron probably share the same ivermectin guy or something.
And I wrote about this. I guess I just tweeted this, but the most irritating thing about, you know, so the Jets are in the tank. They're They've given up. They're starting former Bear great Tim Boyle on Black Friday. Yeah, run to your run to your streaming sticks to watch that.
Dumb as that.
Is that now they're to the point in the season where Rodgers can just go, I could have come back. I was healed. But, you know, we're not playing for anything. So,
right. So,
but now it worked, guys. I mean, whew, you should see my, whew, you should see my shoes.
See my shoes.
Asshole.
Well, they were hell bent on going with Zach Wilson, and okay, who could have predicted that collapse?
Yeah, they were basically just screwed. Don't they have? Isn't Trevor Siemian a Jet? How could you not turn to the great Trevor Siemian?
That sounds right.
He got hurt in that game last year, right? Like on the first play, was that the Jets? Is it the Jets or the Giants? I think it was the Jets. Remember that they showed him? He got hurt in warmups, I think. Remember they were showing him and he's like holding his rib cage and it looked like he was going to play and then he played, and he was awful because he's Trevor Siemian. And he's a Jet.
Ah, when you're a Jet all the way.
They have the great Nathaniel Hackett, so
right.
I'm sure being reunited with his former Packer player Tim Boyle,
brethren, yeah,
that'll fix everything. So that'll be fine.
Oh yeah.
So here, this is a conspiracy theory that I don't remember, but it sounded vaguely familiar. It came up because they were talking about in the game where Josh Dobbs was playing when he first got to the Vikings, and they expected the 40-year-old rookie from BYU to be their quarterback, and then he gets hurt on, like, the first drive. And then they just have to throw Dobbs in, and Kevin O'Connell, is that right? I was going to call him Kevin O'Connor, but that's the douchey basketball guy from The Ringer. Was having to, like, not only – he was having to hurry up and tell him to play as fast as he could, but then also tell him like what happens so that he would know.
Yeah.
And that prompted a discussion about a Patriots, it wasn't really a scandal because nobody could prove it, but everyone suspected that for a couple of seasons, there was this thought that because the play clock cuts off, or the play clock, the helmet thing cuts off at 15 seconds. So you get the first 25 seconds of the play clock where the coach can talk to the quarterback. And then even on Sunday Night Football, did you hear him play the annoying sound that the coach hears? So he knows he's not being heard anymore. It's like this beep, 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 beep. And O'Connell said he was hearing it in his sleep that night because he'd heard it.
Okay.
Because they normally don't get all the way to 15 every time, but he was because he was trying to get, you know, information to Dobbs. Well, there was this conspiracy theory that in a couple of years in the Patriot dynasty, the Patriots had a second receiver in Tom Brady's helmet. And Belichick could talk to him until the snap. So Belichick could see stuff and tell, hey, Tom, you see this? And they said there were even sometimes, and they said the tip-off for this was long after the thing should have cut off, sometimes Brady would be in the shotgun and he would be covering the ear holes on his helmet.
So he could hear better.
And that they're like, so why would you need to do that if you're the one doing all the... Because the quarterback is projecting. He's not listening.
Yeah, right.
So I thought that was pretty good.
Huh.
Lions superstar Jared Goff. Part of the criticism of him with the Rams was in the Super Bowl year that he really was only kind of playing quarterback. He was basically just a vessel for Sean McVay because McVay was doing the O'Connell thing where he was basically telling... The Rams would get to the line as quickly as possible so that McVay could look at the defense and have like 10 seconds before it cut off to tell Goff where to throw the ball or what to look for.
Yeah.
The Bears should do that with the Flus.
Oh, it'd be great.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, Justin, did you see that? Is that Kid Rock? Is he in the sixth row? Coach, do you have a what? No.
Yeah.
This is what Flus should do when it comes to if a guy is doubtful or out the day before a game, like they did with Fields. Just, you know, have it right till the last second. communication. Yep.
So he'll
be like,
oh, go ahead.
I was just okay. You know, Flus will be like, okay, Justin, before I give you the play, I just want to go over the hits principle real quick. Okay, hey, awesome. Justin, like, come on.
We used to make fun of. Remember the time Nagy wouldn't announce who the punter was going to be? Till like the last second, as if the other team is like, I don't know which guy's going to punt. We got to prepare for both guys. They're both right-footed, and they're tall white guys. And so, you know, I honestly thought when the Flus was dragging out the official announcer for Fields, they basically say he's going to play, but then they're like, oh no, we got to see how he looks on Friday. And you know,
yeah.
I was thinking to myself, this actually might be the one time in Bear history where this might actually be useful. Like, if the Lions actually do kind of think, well, it might be Bajan, and they run a lot of the same stuff, but not all of the same stuff. You might have actually been able to make them prepare for extra things, which is a rarity for the Bears, because usually it's, you know, it doesn't matter which quarterback it is. This guy likes to throw interceptions on the left side of the field. This guy likes to throw them on the right.
Right.
That was basically the only difference.
Yeah.
But I would have waited. I would have waited until like, I would have done. Here's what I would have done. I would have had them both warm up. I'd had them both over there with their helmets on at the kickoff.
Yeah.
And then is when Justin runs out and Bajan puts the cap on and the little headset.
Yeah.
And or maybe give Justin, Dan Campbell the finger. There you go, tough guy.
Meet him. Bears mascot hat on like Lee Corso.
That's, right. That's how he picks.
That's how he knows.
Flus is over there, and clipboard. He rips his shirt open, and he has a Fields jersey on, and that's how they know which quarterback. We're going with Justin. Yay! Crowd goes nuts.
Yeah.
You did see a lot of brand new Lions jerseys in the stands. Those things were fresh out of the box.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Good for them, though. I mean, they got Jason Benetti now. The guy.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he wasn't the. Who they selected to call the game. Chicago-Detroit connection.
What do they... Do they have any, like, pregame, like, you know, like the Browns? I don't know if you saw that. Their longtime radio announcer has been battling leukemia, and he's back now. And they have this thing where before the game, somebody, because of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, somebody gets to break a guitar, and that, like, gets the crowd fired up. And he did it, and then they had to, like, hustle him up to the booth, and he was ready for, like, the third play of the game.
Oh, that's cool.
I mean, I don't know what do the Lions have. You get to, you know, you get to shut a factory, you get to announce a string of layoffs on the.
Oh, God.
Get to bust the union.
you get a shovel. You got to try and dig up Jimmy Hoffa.
Loser.
Yeah.
Loser has to drink a whole glass of Flint water.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Something like that.
Maybe they do something with the Kellogg Institute. They make you shit all over the place.
Well, they should have done that.
You get to put Michigan on probation. That'd be a fun giveaway. Seal a sign. Put the Wolverines on more probation.
So the Bears are on their way to lovely U.S. Bank Stadium on Monday night, where Kevin Warren can walk around and go, I picked that paint color.
I picked
those
that.
Seats, those are mine. Just a couple of, I did that. I did this.
You think Crane does that when he walks around Wrigley Field, like, pointing at
of course he
a
does.
Tree?
And it's all bullshit.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, I planted the ivy on the walls. Oh, you did? I thought that was Bill Veeck. Was it? I agree to disagree. Crane, you're like 55
right.
years old. I think the ivy's older than that. No, it's not. I planted it myself.
Yeah.
You know, it's my idea for the scoreboard that you move the tiles. Yeah, no, really, that's also bullshit. But this seems like a game that they probably have to take advantage to, though. Show her all the, like, how do you like this? We might put this in the new stadium. Huh?
Oh, yeah.
How about one of these? You want one of those? I always feel bad.
Roll her around in the wheelchair around all the skywalks in Minneapolis.
Don't do the Nordberg thing where they accidentally, and she goes down the stairs and then ching, and she hits the bottom. I don't want that.
Must kill the queen.
Yeah, though, the it was funny. This is how, like, so if the Vikings had won, they would be 6-4, is that right? And they were on NBC. They're like, well, they're only two games behind the Lions. They haven't played yet. They don't play till week 16 and 18, so that division could still be up in the air.
Like, yeah, that'd be
right.
It's like, no, I mean, there's two people who care. Maybe three, because I believe, Prez, I believe you've given this stat too. Maybe there's three. There's you and Mike Donahue, and then there's some guy at Fox. Who likes
tout
the fact that the Lions haven't won, they've never won the North, and the Bucks, who aren't even in their division anymore, have won the Lions division more recently than the Lions have.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Hasn't happened in my lifetime yet. I think last time was 91 for them.
Well,
sorry, you guys feel old there.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's see. I think last time was 48. No.
No, I was born in 90. Or I was at high school in 90. I can't remember one of the. I can't remember. I'm bad. I didn't know there'd be any math.
Yeah, right. Speaking of Michigan presidents.
So speaking of math, what do you think? I gave the Cubs a 25% chance to get Shohei. What do you think?
I like that analysis. I like where you're going now. But don't get your hopes up too high, Andy.
No,
I don't want you to
cry. No. That was my problem with the Bears. I got my hopes up so high that they were going to win that I haven't sobbed like that. Oh, my God. It was awful. I was wailing for a good 20 minutes.
Let's see.
25% sounds right for that. Between them and the Dodgers at this point.
Yeah, I was surprised that the Mariners are just out. Because I felt like they were like the kind of the sleeper team.
Yeah.
He used to live there for a while. He seemed to like it. They've had a great, you know, they have a,
right.
You know, they had Ichiro and Kasasaki and very, very, I'm sure somebody else is Japanese. I don't know. I've lost track. But yeah, well, I think it was funny when I was reading that post in Bleacher Nation. I thought he was going in a different direction. And it's the reason I read it. So there's, he was talking about being cautious, and I thought, oh, this is just the height of, you know, get over yourself.
It could happen, but don't be disappointed if it doesn't happen.
Well, here's why I thought he was writing about being cautious. Shohei's people have said Shohei would be very upset if word of where he's visiting and what he's doing on his visits get out. And I was thinking, oh, my God, Bleacher Nation thinks they're going to ruin the Shohei thing. And that's why they have to be cautious about what they speculate on, because I'm sure Shohei is probably bookmarked that, and he's checking it every day. He's like, oh, these sons of bitches figured out that I'm coming in. Oh, no, well, I'm out. Screw it.
Yep.
I'm going to the Cardinals. Yep. See how you like that, assholes. That's where I thought he was going with that. So I was reading it, and then I realized it was even more pathetic. It was, I just can't, I don't know if I can handle it. I just get so excited that my team, my favorite baseball team might get a really good baseball player, and then they don't. And oh my God, what am I going to do? I know this is, the Cub fan base is odd. I mean, we know this, we're Cub fans.
Yes.
I think I've told this story before on a baseball podcast. It fits on a baseball podcast more, and I'm not even going to pretend to make it football. I'm just going to tell a story. So when I worked for the Snappers, I had friends there who worked in the Beloit or in the Brewers organization, and former Brewer Randy Reddy, great name for a baseball player or a country music singer, was working for the Padres. And they still knew some people in the Brewers organization. And at the winter meetings one year, there was a big rumor. You remember, these rumors happen all the time.
Yeah.
Where Jeff Samardzija and Ryan Terrio were going to get traded to the Padres for Jake Peavy.
Yep.
To the point where Randy was telling friends of mine in the Brewers organization, I think it's going to happen. I think it's basically done.
Okay.
So pre-Twitter, like, there was a thing. There was actually, did you know that? There was actually before Twitter or X.
I know.
On Discipio, I wrote that I was hearing that this might happen.
Okay.
And when it didn't happen, you wouldn't believe the emails I got. And the
really?
Things, oh, they were just so pissed at me and clearly just upset. And it was a lot of stuff like, I thought we were going to get him, and then we didn't. Now what am I supposed to do? I don't know. They'll have somebody else pitch. Watch that guy.
Exactly.
Yeah, watch that guy.
Yeah, just focus their efforts now on trying to get Brian Roberts.
I hear it's close. They're pending physical.
Exactly. Hey, Jake Peavy did eventually find his way to Chicago.
He did.
Not the north side. But.
Oh, yeah. Ryan Dempster's. Where that? Yeah, it's funny. It's with little kids, I could see it. You know, my first memory of the Bears is throwing a tantrum because Bob Avellini threw an interception in the Kingdom. I didn't realize I was like 6 or 7. I didn't know we did it all the time. I just thought the Bears were going to win, and now they weren't going to win, and I was just very upset, and I couldn't believe it.
It's just a Sunday afternoon for Bob.
But I'm not like a 45-year-old, you know, guy who lives in the Dayton suburbs or whatever and has this Cubs website that I can't handle the potential of just, what if I'm disappointed? Maybe don't be a Cub fan then. How about that?
Right.
Buddy, you picked the wrong team. If
you don't want disappointment.
That's right. That used to be the brand, and it seems like they want to get back to the brand.
Yeah.
Yeah. You clearly don't care. You clearly don't care about rooting for the team that's geographically close to you. So, I mean, obviously the Reds aren't that great of a choice, but you could always pick something else.
I don't know if he still lives there or not, but I remember he would always. We learn a lot of stuff. This is the only time of the year that I actually read Bleacher Nation. Okay. And I always remember that. I get a lot of stuff about it. He'll tell you stuff you really need to know, like, I'm going to be gone for a couple hours this morning because I have to go take the kids to school. Like, how is that?
Right.
Timmy forgot his lunch, and I'm going to be gone for 15 minutes. I have to go take his lunch to him. Okay, thanks for that. I thought this was a post about losing the great Jonathan Perlaza to a Korean team. I didn't know that this was updates on your errands, but it's fascinating. Keep it up. Boy. I would guess, because it's the Bears, that this will be the week that Justin Jefferson returns to the Vikings, I would guess. Most likely.
I would seem to line up, yeah.
Yeah.
My fantasy team would be happy to have him back, but I could live without having to see him torch the Bears again.
Yeah.
Do you guys know what the spread is?
I have not looked into this yet.
It might be closer than you think, because Vegas loves the Bears now.
Oh,
they're like,
God.
Oh, the Bears. Bears have got
They just cover against the Lions.
Yeah. Should have had the outright win.
Vikings minus 5.5. My guess.
Lower. Vikings minus 3.5.
3.5.
Wow.
And the over-under is 43.
Mm.
43.
The thing I would be interested about this game is this was the game Fields got hurt in. He didn't play very well in that first half. But it seemed like in the second half with the great Tyson Bagent that the Bears had figured out better how to handle. Brian Flores is the defensive coordinator for the Vikings. He likes to blitz from all kinds of sneaky angles. And it seemed like in the second half the Bears had a better handle on how they were being blitzed. So if that's an adjustment that they made and they can actually do that from the first part of the game, then I would expect Justin to play much, much better than he did against them in that game.
Well, with that in mind, that's one that the coaching staff actually has a handle on and knows how to adjust to.
Well, that's assuming they remember what they did.
Right.
There they are on the sidelines, just like Flus is like going through papers. Did I write? I thought I wrote these down. What did we do? Was that the Vikings? Are they purple?
Yeah. This says my car keys are on the dresser.
See what
this
I got
does
here.
Not help.
Does Carl Eller and Alan Page, they still play for the Vikings? No. Okay. Well, I got to move up a little bit then. I don't know why I have all
Bud
these
Grant's
files.
Not coaching anymore.
Scott Studstill? Is that right? No. Damn it. John Randall. Are we getting closer? Yeah, we are. All right. Good job.
Jerry Burns dropping F-bombs every press conference.
Jerry Burns. I always loved it. For a guy who didn't comb his hair, he spent the whole game, like, messing with it. Like, just, like, mushing it onto his forehead all the time. Yeah, like, I know, Jerry, if you're that concerned about the hair, maybe comb it. He just liked it. Well, that's funny that, we, speaking of former Vikings coaches, here's what I wanted, the Flus. This is what I want from the Flus, especially if you're going to go out in a blaze of glory. I wanted, because this would have been, this would have worked, this would have been perfect. He needed to go full Dennis Green in the postgame, because this is the perfect.
Yes.
We know who they are. You want to crown them, you can crown their ass. We had them off, we had them, and we let them off.
But we let them off the hook.
Yeah, let them off the
hook. Then you smack the microphone.
Yeah.
Right. And then if you're Eberflus, then you then you apologize. I'm sorry. I can't believe I'm sorry. I didn't mean to move the microphone there, but that's right.
Yeah, right, right.
But that was basically that was that. That was very similar to that game. I mean, there was no Devin Hester punt return. Sure. But same idea. You beat the shit out of the team for almost the whole game and then piss it away in the last few minutes. But I don't even know what the Flus said. I'm sure he was very fiery.
I saw the next day press conference for like 15 minutes. I don't know that he said. He said words. I'm not sure that any of the words were in the particular order.
It's like those, like the things with the magnets on the refrigerator.
Yeah, it's kind of like that.
Yeah.
Like
barfs them out, and then some intern sits there, and it's like, okay, well, this could go. I need a verb. Do we have a verb?
Right, right.
Is fumble the verb? Yes. Okay. All right, we'll scoot that over there.
Yeah, it's like, why did you run the ball at the end? Well, it's about accountability. What? what are you saying?
What does accountability have to do with it?
We have a great spirit. That's a big one. Great spirit. The S is for spirit.
In an earlier version, it was. That's what he's. Yeah.
By great. But they mean they have a nice liquor cabinet full of spirits.
Like, we're gonna need all the spirits we can. I gave one of the interns $500, and I sent him to the Piggly Wiggly on the way to the airport, and he's gonna meet us, and we're gonna take care of this loss.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I just can't. I have a hard time, and I'm sure when. says with air quotes, when the Bears get better.
Yeah.
Where did all those balloons come from?
No, I wonder what I did to trigger. This is why we should record the podcast. I just said, when the Bears get better. It's got to be some hand gesture thing.
Marshall Brodeen.
I was talking, cartoon balloons just.
Yeah,
rose up like behind me on this.
Like when you send a text with that balloon effect, that's exactly what it was.
Right.
Maybe I'll be able to stomach Bears postgame, but I just. Do you guys watch any? You guys probably watch the marquee one, right? Or you watch the marquee one?
We're watching.
What a year to get to pay for that. Well, we're the official Bears postgame. It's and who is it? It's like. Dan Hampton, Taylor, I think, is doing it.
Yeah,
they might as well just stand out in the parking lot and scream it into the air. More people would hear it than trying to broadcast things. Who the fuck is tuning into them?
Yeah.
And then on NBC Sports Chicago, you got Wani, and I could just there is no way I could give two shits what that guy has to say about anything. I just never.
I know. I it's crazy.
It's like. It's like, I don't care. All right. So who you got? Bears? Bears are getting 3.5. Once again, Vegas begging you. Begging you to take
the Bears. Begging you to take the Bears. I'm going to be wise here, and I will say that the Vikings win and cover. It'll be fairly close, but I'll say they win by a touchdown.
Wow. Oof. Fuck it. I'm going to say the Bears.
Hey, there you go.
I have so much confidence in my prediction.
Yeah, when it starts with "fuck it," that's always shows. That's always. That was Jimmy the Greek. That was his Pete. No, it was Pete Axton. That was his lock when on the NBC NFL. What were they? NFL Live. He would be like, and that was at the year in there, like NFL Live 83, as if you'd forget what year it was. It was a good thing that they had that on there. Pete was his fuck it, take the Bears.
Yeah, it's the title of his book. Fuck it, I'm taking the Bears.
Yeah, I'll take the Vikings and I guess the over. Once again, this is an ESPN game that the Mannings have decided, we're good.
You really blame them.
But if they were doing the game, who would? They pretty much have three guests, right? They do the first quarter, just Peyton and Eli, and then they have some. So, who would the three? Who would their three guests be?
Three guests be.
Ooh.
Let's see.
I think at this point he was recently on Pat McAfee. He has to go Connor Bedard, right?
Well, there you go. Would Eli or Peyton have any idea who he is?
Probably not.
Why is there a small boy? why are we talking to him? Are you in a Jerry Maguire reboot? I'm not. Mike Pusteri, do you have any thoughts on who? I mean, they could have you. That'd be good.
Have me on there. That'd be great.
There you go. Yeah.
Exciting. Who do you think? You have someone in mind, I feel like?
Well, yeah, it'd be Jim Belushi.
Okay.
I don't know. It depends. I think they get Tom Dreesen, or is Tom too busy?
Oh, he might be a little too big.
I don't think they wouldn't go Jeff Garland because he got fired from ABC.
No,
so they're not gonna have Jeff Garland.
Yeah.
How about William H. Macy?
That'd be
there you go.
He's got the Fargo connection, the original Fargo.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
Francis
McDormand would be good. She could just be pissed.
Take it at Francis McDormand.
She could just yell at him for like, why am I even watch football? Who the hell are you? Why is your head so big?
They could have the guy who puts the dude in the wood chipper. The big scary guy. Have him.
The guy who basically has made a living. I don't know where he's actually from. He's American. But if you need a Russian.
He's your guy.
That's your guy. You need a creepy Russian. And I remember his name. I used to know his name. He's in Minority Report. He's the one that he sells the eyeballs.
Oh, yeah.
You need the eyeballs to make the security thing, and he will sell you an eyeball. Oh,
that's right. Yeah, have that guy. That'd be terrific.
All right. Well, Pusteri informs he has a hard out.
A hard out.
He's got a college basketball game to watch. And I don't blame him. This is what the Bears will do to you. It's like, fuck it. I got basketball to watch. So that's enough of that.
Right.
All right. Well, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Andy.
Many of us have herpes.
It's fitting. It's got to be done with one of the best games of all time. Just unbelievable. Got to congratulate the Dolan family.
I don't know. What's up yours?